Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to today is Wednesday. It's October 15th. So let's try and say it a different way. Maybe it'll come out right.
I guess it's a tongue twister.
Yeah. And I did get enough sleep last night. So I'm wondering what that is, you know. A little brain fart this morning.
Yeah.
Beautiful day in Southern California, as always. Mm-hmm. And last night was pretty chilly, actually.
Yeah, you know? And this morning.
Yeah, was it cold,
early
too?
Early morning, too. Yeah, it was a little...
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I get up at 8:30. So that's not early morning for me. What time do you usually get up?
Well, my boyfriend wakes up about 5 and has to be in the office around 5:36.
Oh, my God.
So,
why, does he work with the East Coast or something?
Yeah, he's on East Coast time.
Okay.
So, I'm up pretty early. I'm not up, I'm awake.
Mm.
And it was cold this morning.
Yeah, 5:30 is early.
So, yeah. Something's just destined for me to be up at early hours in the morning every morning. I mean, I swam, and that's a sport where you have to get up early because
right.
you have to do doubles. And now my boyfriend works early, and maybe I just need to get an early morning job. Just
yeah, maybe you should.
A really
you know?
Early morning.
Yeah,
job.
You're wasting your time. That's a good 3-4 hours, you know. So, well, this is cool. So what time do you have to go to bed in order to get up at 5:30?
I've like always 10? Gone to bed early.
Yeah,
always, if not earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
I love sleeping.
Yeah,
I could sleep for 10 hours every night.
Yeah, huh? Easily.
Yeah. Easily. So going to bed 9, 10 is easy for me.
I know. You know, when I stay up late, I'm like, why are you keeping yourself up late? I mean, you like to sleep, you know, just get into bed. But,
yeah.
you know, I can't stop my mind from. So, you know, eventually I just have to stop and that's it, you know.
Right.
So fortunately, last night I ran out of things to do at 1 o'clock.
Well,
so,
that's good.
Yeah, I know.
And that's
so
also good because you've
hours.
Done everything.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. You know, until the morning when you realize, oh, no, a new day,
yeah.
new problems,
right.
you know. I know. It's like, you know, the first thing I get up in the morning, get some coffee and read the emails. And sometimes the day just does not start well.
Right. Yeah.
So sometimes you dread that email. But for the most part, it's fun. You know, mm-hmm. it's cool. And, you know, when people call me, I don't have time to talk to them on the phone anymore. Send me an email, you know.
Right.
Because then I forget. You know, I talk to so many people every day.
Yeah, you need it in writing so you know.
Yeah, exactly. I can refer back to it,
yeah,
you know.
Definitely.
And I don't have the patience to sit and talk to people for hours, you know. I just don't. And people keep calling me wanting to talk, you know, business stuff.
Right.
But it's like, you know, let's not waste any words that are not necessary, you know.
Cut to the chase.
Exactly, you know. Write to me.
Yeah.
Because then you can also read it at your own leisure, you know, so
yeah.
you don't have to, like, be there constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's definitely better for when you can reference back and you know and you have
yeah.
it in your emails. And
I've never been crazy about the phone, you know. When I was
right.
like 20 years old, I was a telephone operator, and I hated being on the phone. You know, during that time, I felt
yeah.
I don't want any phones, you know.
I can only imagine that to be the worst job ever.
Because
I just know how I'm not an angry person, but talking to people,
right.
telephone operators like DirecTV, AT&T, I'm so mean to them because everything's
yeah.
just always wrong. When you have to call them, everything's wrong.
Right.
So then you're just in a bad mood. You're taking everything out. They're not doing what you want to. So I would
right.
just hate to be, I would hate to have that job.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And, I would hate to hear people like me, and I'm sure I'm nice compared with, with a lot of people.
I know. And then they have the nerve to send you a survey, you know, like, how was our service?
Yeah.
You know, like, here, let me tell you how the service was.
You can
was,
stay on the
know?
Phone for a little bit longer to answer a couple of questions.
Right. Exactly. Or
go.
They email it to you, you know. It's
yeah.
like I let them have it, you know.
Right.
And they try to come across as they care, but they don't. They really don't care.
Yeah.
Because if they did, you would feel that the service is much better.
Mm-hmm.
But this was being a telephone operator for the phone company. So every time people would dial 0, there I was, you know.
Wow.
But I liked it at the time because, like I said, I was 20, 21 years old, and I, well, actually younger than that. It was late, my late teens, and I remember we were like four guys and 400 women there, you know? I mean, guys,
so
just...
you were okay.
Yeah. So it was not boring. There was a lot of romance going on in that place.
I bet.
So, yeah, so that was fun. But, yeah, since then, I just haven't liked being on the phone at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Gave you a bad memory of phone calls.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't have the patience for it.
Yeah.
So it's good that there's texting now, you know. Mm-hmm. Except I think we overdo texting. Sometimes it's like you realize you write really a lot, mm-hmm. and you go, this is stuff I need to tell them on the phone, you know. It's not something... You know, it's not a conversation that is appropriate for texting.
Right,
you know?
And when things can be taken out of context and then it's taken the wrong way.
Right.
That starts a whole new conversation of, well, why are you saying it like that? What do you mean by that? And then it's like,
I know. So you try to put smileys and all that kind of stuff
right.
on it. Right,
exclamation points. I do a lot of punctuation on my text messages to make sure. Yay! exclamation points. But that's what I like about the new iPhone, or I guess it's the iOS, uh-huh. that you can do the voice text.
Yeah,
I still haven't downloaded the iOS, but
right. You know that you can do voice text without typing, but it's not going to send.
Well,
it
yeah,
voice.
But it doesn't send. Yeah,
so you want to send a voice message?
Yeah, because then everything's in context. Because it's all about how you say it, the tone of your voice,
right?
And through text, you can't tell that. Whereas if you just send like a little 10-second snippet of what you want to say, and it's your voice, they know if you're mad, happy, angry.
That's true, yeah. But, you know, I mean, when you get that far, you might as well just call. You know?
Well, yeah. that's true.
I mean, it's really, like, weird to send somebody a voice message. But, yeah, I guess, you know, it's like voicemail or something.
Yeah, I know somebody that the only way she talks to her husband is through the texting. She has an Android or she doesn't have an iPhone. And she'll walk around and she'll have it to her mouth and she'll be speaking. And people just look at her like, what are you doing? And it took me a while to realize that they're texting back and forth. And then you can hear his response.
Right.
It's like, I feel like I'm in your conversation.
God, man, this technology is just crazy, you know?
Yeah, it is.
It really is. You know, with the Snapchat and everything, you know, people are like doing crazy things with it. I understand. I don't know. I don't use it. I don't have a use for it, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm going to send you a picture, it's probably going to be one I'm proud of and and not mind if you see it or people see it. You know?
Yeah. I had it for a little while. For me and my friends would send, I mean, there's two uses for it, to send ugly photos of yourself or to do other things. And I sent ugly photos of myself and me and my friends would do that. Uh-huh. And it was funny, but then it was like, okay.
Yeah,
over this, deleted the app. Because it was, because then too many people start sending you photos, and it's like, I don't want a photo from you.
Right.
Like, I want it from like four of my friends, and that's it. And then if they want to send me a photo, they can do it through text.
That's true. But yeah, I guess if you want to send somebody a picture and you don't want them spreading it anywhere, then that's a good way to do it.
But guaranteed, it still goes somewhere. It's definitely not deleted.
Right. But that person can't like use it against you or anything later. You know?
Well, you can screenshot it. Mm. You can screenshot the photo that they are sending you.
But you get
a notification. You can, as you're viewing the photo that they've sent you, you can take a screenshot which saves that to your phone.
Yeah,
but they get a notification
that
you've done that.
Okay.
But still, it's like, oh, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing you can do at that
point. Exactly, yeah.
That's true. You can do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's still not totally.
Always ways to get around it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's why I'm telling people, don't send nude pictures, you know. I mean, I just don't get the point in this, you know, for people sending nude pictures. I mean, if it's someone you know and you're involved with them romantically, then fine. And if you don't know them, you're taking a chance that that picture is going to be all over the place.
Oh, yeah. And even, I mean, I feel bad for Jennifer Lawrence. She fought back and said that this is more about, I've been sexually, how did she say
harassed,
it?
Harassed, abused.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
And she spoke out about it. And I feel really bad for her because it was with her boyfriend. It was a long distance boyfriend that she was sending these to. I guess it was a while ago because they're not together anymore.
Right.
And she's just been a victim of this crime. I mean, it's a sexual crime that happened to a lot of people. And it sucks because fans and people are thriving and kind of enjoy it, and it's just terrible that they're enjoying it at someone else's expense.
Right. But I mean, come on, it's hard to resist seeing Jennifer Lawrence in the nude, you know? I mean, just just to say you've seen it, you know?
Yeah. But even she'd said even the people that were looking at the photos were helping and acting in the crime.
Right.
So she was very...
very upset, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
But there's nothing you can do about it. So that's why the only, you got to start at home and just not take these pictures in the first place, you know. What's the point?
Right.
So people will do that, you know. And anyway, we've got a great guest in the studio. We're going to get to her in just a second. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. I guess this guy is treated for Google Glass addiction. You know what Google Glass is? It's those glasses that have a computer in them and stuff. So this guy is admitted to substance abuse recovery program and treated for, well, alcoholism and also for Google Glass addiction. And they're saying this is like internet addiction disorder is what they call it, although it's not recognized by doctors or the mental health Institute, but they're saying it's very real. You know what happens to him? I guess they're saying he only takes it off when he bathes and sleeps, and or when he showers, whatever. And so I guess he gets like irritable and upset and anxious when he can't use it.
See, the thing that I find weird about that is the Google Glass is so small that you kind of have to strain your eyes and. Just to be able to see what's kind of on.
Have you used it? Did you put it on?
Yeah.
Really?
I've tested them. Well, I've tried it on. Yeah, tested, whatever it's called. So it's weird.
Yeah.
It's not something where you have your iPad, your big screen, or your computer in front of you.
Right.
Like, it's very, it's kind of disorienting because if you have the computer screen, whatever you have up on the Google Glass, when you're looking at other things, you have to look down or look down and forward. So it's strange.
Yeah.
I found it very disorientated when I was disorienting when I wore it.
Right.
So I find that so weird that he could be addicted.
Yeah.
I could see how you can be addicted to the internet, but when you're addicted
it's still the information, I think, that he can get, you know. And it's just amazing. I mean, some people do it like so fast. Like my son, you can ask him anything, and in 2 seconds, he's got the answer.
Yeah, it's crazy. And a lot of people use Siri for that on their phones or on their iPads. I've never used it because she drives me crazy. Yeah. She never knows what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But a lot of people just say, where is the closest gas station?
Right.
Bam. 2 seconds, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
insane. You know, or just you go on Google real quick or whatever with the phone. So there's never any excuses to not get, you know, not know something or not be there at a certain time, you know. And, I don't know if I told you. Did I tell you that? Never mind. I don't want to get into that. just one more thing. And this makes me like almost want to cry, you know. They're saying seniors lose average of $30,000 to financial scammers. And this is not just strangers. I mean, even family members will scam them, steal money from them, things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even caregivers, you know, can take advantage of you and stuff. And I'm just saying, I mean, these people are like, this is the last of their money, you know.
Right.
They've worked all their lives so they wouldn't have to when they're old.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just like taking it with them heartlessly, like, you know, like without thinking what's going to happen to them, you know. And this is the average, $30,000. So imagine how much more some people are actually losing on this stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad for them because they're helpless, you know.
Definitely.
They really are. And even if they're not helpless in their mind, but still, you know, body-wise or whatever, they can't really fight it or anything, you know. And I'm seeing my parents aging, and it really scares me, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, even violence against seniors and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, terrible.
Definitely. I mean, it's definitely a crime, and yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, anyway, let's get to positive things. We're going to get to our guest now, and we have Jacqueline Aludo in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Thank you for sitting here patiently and stuff. I know you just got into town, right?
Yeah, we got in late last night.
Oh, where are you from? Where do you live?
Well, I'm from New Jersey, but I just relocated to Houston, Texas.
Oh, really? Wow.
How you liking the Texas humidity?
You know,
or is it humid or is it just dry heat?
It's humid.
It is.
But the weather's been pretty good to us.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
I really can't complain.
Nice.
So how long have you been there already in Texas?
About 2.5 months.
Oh, really? So it's pretty recent.
Yes, it's very recent.
And what was the reason for the move? Business, work, family?
Family.
Family?
Yeah, family. Okay. I wanted to be closer to my father.
Yeah. That's a good reason.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good reason. And we saw you have a little baby and everything, so that's a good thing to be close to the family and stuff.
Yeah, my daughter's 14 months.
She's 14, so she's not a baby anymore.
No. Well, she's 14 months.
Yeah. So is that considered a baby or a toddler?
I guess no. almost a toddler.
Toddler, yeah. Because yeah. a baby is when they just lie in bed and take a bottle and stuff, you know. Your daughter's older than that.
Oh, yeah, and she's running around. She's definitely not laying in bed.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely not a baby.
No.
Good for you. Is this your first one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Congratulations,
Thank
then.
You so much.
14 months, so it's still pretty new for you. I mean, are you still getting used to it? Or?
Yeah, I feel like the luckiest person in the world.
Wow.
My daughter just melts my heart.
Really? That's cool. Well, that's the way it should be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say that nature makes them really cute, so we'll love them, you know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if babies were ugly and stuff? You know, who would want to be with them? So we have that instinct, I guess, to care for them and everything, being so innocent and helpless, you know. You enjoying motherhood so far?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of awakened a part of my soul. I know that sounds so corny.
Well, and it sounds spiritual.
You just have this infinite amount of love. And right. It's just, you're happy every day.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you're so blessed.
Right. Even though it changes your life completely overnight, right? I mean,
yes.
the moment they come out, that's it, you know? Your life has changed forever. But not necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying that
right.
you can't do the things you used to anymore.
That's what I've heard, that it's you just part of your body that you didn't even know existed, like love that you didn't know existed, just comes out and you just have this extra, I don't know what, emotional... I don't know. Just extra emotional status that you didn't know you had.
Right. Yeah.
And half of somebody.
It's a very different kind of love. But your life completely does change.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a very hectic schedule. And you just kind of have to rearrange it and reschedule it for your children, too.
Right. And that's amazing, you know, because I know sometimes people will say, oh, my life is too busy, I can't have kids. And often you can understand that, you know. I mean, you want to have a lot of time for your kids. So how do you manage to do that? I mean, you do have a busy schedule. You run around. Obviously, you travel and stuff, and we'll get to that in a minute, what it is that you do and everything. But so how do you fit it in?
Well, I am very lucky. I really bring my daughter 90% of the places that I go.
Really?
So wow. I'm really lucky because she's uh-huh. just a really good girl.
Wow.
And I'm blessed that I can bring her with me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she's just really good. And we hang out. And she's really good when she's with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel better when she's with me, too.
Right.
So...
It's good that you're able to do that,
yep.
you know?
I'm really lucky.
Because, you know, often, you know, when you go to work and stuff, you can't take your kids with you and stuff. But you're like your own boss pretty much?
Yes.
Yeah, so that helps.
Yeah, that really does help.
That helps a lot.
I read that you were working up to 80 hours a week before you had your daughter. How have you adapted to not just motherhood, but kind of, you've had to cut back, I'm guessing, on the 80-hour
yes.
work weeks?
Well, yeah, I worked 80 hours right up until I was 9 months pregnant.
Wow. Oh,
and wow. Then I've slowed down, I'd say maybe probably to about 50.
Mm-hmm.
But so it is an adjustment. It yeah. is a very big adjustment. But now what I do is I use my time a lot more sparingly.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I worked the 80 hours a week, I would take 10, 15-minute breaks here and there. Now when I'm working, I just really manage my time so that I can get my work in and then just be with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. So tell us what it is that you do. What kind of work do you do?
Okay. Well, I'm the CEO of a production company called Pick It Up Pictures,
mm-hmm.
and I am the founder of Real Beauty, Real Women. It's a website, rbrw.org. It's where beauty, glamour, and entertainment meet social responsibility. We really want to make activism sexy
mm-hmm.
and really make it trendy to do the right thing and stand up for what is right in the world.
Right. And that's a good motivation for someone, you know, if they don't like to be active and everything, at least it gives you something to be involved with. If it's a sexy thing, like you explained it, you know, like if it's more like they can relate to it or something. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the biggest thing right now is so many people need help. You know, you guys were just talking about elderly abuse with Jennifer Lawrence, sexual exploitation. There's a lot of things going on in the world. And in order to address all these issues and really break the cycle of these issues, you really have to kind of make it fun for people to get involved.
Right.
Because people are so busy.
Right.
And I think when you make things fun and people feel good about giving back, they really want to do it. And it's a contagious, positive cycle that can just keep on going.
Right. So your causes are homelessness and, right?
My causes are, I also have a nonprofit, and our goal is to break the cycle of violence, poverty, homelessness, and abuse in America.
Are these usually related, would you say? Like,
yes.
If you have a family and you have abuse, then you'd have probably homelessness and despair and stuff, right?
Absolutely. I mean, when you grow up in a violent and abused family, there is a lot of despair. There can be addictions. But I think right now with homelessness, it's even on such a bigger level where a lot of the middle class are now really facing poverty. It's really hard to get ahead. People are living paycheck to paycheck. And that is just a real issue that we need to take care of.
Right. And so what ways, like by raising money and stuff like this, this helps, right?
Yes. So this is what I believe. I spent 14 years filming in shelters, all different kinds of shelters, for battered women, for families, for veterans, for people that just fell on hard times. And I really feel that in order to break the cycle, you have to really sustain organizations and shelters that are serving communities that desperately need a voice. So, for example, if you are a family and the husband lost the job and the mom just has an income, but they can't pay their electric bill and they can't feed their children, there are outward communities like food pantries that really help assist these families. The problem is that as their demands keep on rising, government and funding keeps on getting cut.
Right.
So I feel that our job is to sustain these organizations that serve these outward communities and give people the proper tools, such as education and assistance, to keep on going.
Right. Now, how bad is the homelessness problem in America? Do you have an estimate of how many people are homeless?
Yes. There are over 3 million people.
Wow.
Homeless in America.
Wow. And this is like the 21st century, right? In America. I mean, this is not like some
right.
third world country.
Yes. Since the Great Depression, we've never had so much homelessness. And there's 1.6 million children that are homeless. Every 3 minutes, a child becomes homeless in America. And that number keeps on rising. And it's very staggering to see just all the different kinds of people, from veterans to children,
right,
to mothers, to families. It's just a real epidemic that needs to be addressed.
Right.
When you say every 3 minutes, is that a child is becoming homeless? Is that a child that's parentless or with her family that they're becoming homeless? Or just in general?
Both.
Okay.
There are a lot of families that are homeless. 50% of women and their children fleeing violent family situations become homeless. Then there are children that they become orphaned. So there's a few different scenarios of homeless children, but there are 1.6 million and it's growing in this country.
Wow.
Wow. So you decided to film this and stuff. How did you get into motion picture?
Okay. So way back 14 years ago, I had wanted to show how homeless, battered women and children lived in America. And at the time, it was a raw, gritty documentary. And then after it was done, I really saw that it affected people. It was almost too raw. So I sat back and I said, you know what? People really love celebrities. They love famous people. They love fashion. They love beauty. I said, what if I partner up with these celebrities and brands and we go out and we really show what's going on in a different way? We create socially conscious entertainment. That way people can watch it and learn, but they can also sit through it and digest what's going on.
Right.
So I met Luis Guzman, and he was an activist before he was famous. And he said, I'll go homeless. Can you create a documentary for me?
How?
And I said, sure. So we filmed Louis going homeless for 72 hours. You see him first as being famous, how everybody loves him. And then he does this transformation where we got these special effects makeup artists, and we transformed him into a homeless person. And then you saw him for 3 days live on the streets. And just what a difference it was when people knew he was famous in those same areas, how they treated him, versus when he was homeless. They were disgusted by him. Wow. And we purposely had on the signs, not him asking for money, profound signs like love is your legacy. Every homeless person has a history. Have a great day. And people just did not want to even make contact with him. Some people did, which was amazing. But a lot of people
brushed him off.
I think people are scared, though. I mean, it's like you sort of like you don't know how to deal with something like this, right?
Yeah,
because it's not something that we see every day. And we, and I think also in the maybe in our psyche, we realize we're mistreating these people. We're not, you know, we're not giving them what they need. And maybe we're just trying to avoid it. You know,
I think that there's so many elements. I think fear is a big factor. You don't know who someone is that is homeless. I think the other factor is you don't have a dollar to give to every homeless person. So it is really hard.
Right.
And then I think a lot of people, they're just so busy in their day, or they don't know if they're a person pretending to be homeless, panhandling. I mean, there's just so many different elements that really happened with this issue.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, I remember when I was still in England, I was with my friend and her two older sisters, and we were going to lunch. And one of my friend's sisters gave a homeless person who was sat on a step right on the other side of the restaurant we were going to £20. Mm-hmm. The homeless person, as soon as we walked away, sat up off the step, turned around, and walked into the door that they were sat in front of. And they were holding a sign. They had a bucket for change. And so they weren't homeless. They just went into the house behind them.
Wow.
And I just couldn't believe we were all, I mean, our jaws were on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, did that just happen?
Yeah, and that is such a shame because there are so many people that are really suffering from poverty right now that could have really used that money.
Right.
And so panhandling, it's just a tricky issue. For me, what I like to do is I like to give homeless people food. Right. Food and water. Or if it's in the wintertime in New York, coats. Mm. You know, it's really cold out.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now some of these homeless people, I mean, you said domestic violence and everything. Probably a lot of like alcoholism, drug addiction, things like that also, right? Where you're not functioning anymore and then you don't have any money.
Well, that is one part of homelessness. There is substance abuse with alcoholism and people that have drug addiction. However, there really is a lot of families that are homeless. Homeless teenagers, a lot of the gay youth today are homeless because once they come out of their closet, their parents throw them out. And the problem with that, well, on so many levels, I believe that that's wrong.
Right.
Is that these children are then trafficked and then they're sexually exploited.
Right.
With homelessness in America, it really doesn't cross, it's starting to not cross a lot of boundaries because so many people are getting to that poverty line. There are so many people that are really struggling to pay their bills. And it doesn't have to be a person that has an addiction. It could be a mom, a dad, a professor that lost their job.
Right.
I mean, elderly. There are so many elderly right now in this country that just cannot afford to pay their bills.
Right.
And we do not get, the big problem with this country is we do not have adequate affordable housing. I don't. I'm sure that the rent in LA, if you live in New York and New Jersey, it's astronomical.
Right. Right.
And you wonder, how do people pay for this? Mm-hmm. And you need a car, and you need car insurance, and if you have a family,
health insurance,
yes. And it just, everything is so expensive now. Mm-hmm. So people are really falling on hard times. And again, going back to, there are so many organizations that help. Shelters, food pantries, youth centers, where you can go and get help. And they will also give you tools. So if you are a battered woman, and you you're fleeing your husband, and you don't have an education, one of the things that my nonprofit loves to do is we like to go into shelters for women and children and put in computer centers, because it's really important that these women learn Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, so that they can get clerical jobs.
Right.
There's homeless at the Bowery Mission in the city. There's a Project Dignity. If you're homeless, you can go every week and get a shower and get your hair cut. And I know that for some people that sounds trivial, but when you have nothing, these are little things that you really look forward to.
Yeah, it adds to your dignity, yeah, and stuff, you know. I mean, absolutely. And I would imagine also military veterans and things like that also.
Yes.
I know mistreated, a lot of suicide going on and stuff. Okay, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Jacqueline Aludo, and there's two websites. One is RB, as in boy, RW, rbrw.org. That's for Real Beauty, Real Women. And there's also the website pickitup.pictures.com. And this tells us a little bit about a film that you just made, right? So let's talk a little bit about that. It's called The NIMBY Experience. Tell us how this came about.
So the NIMBY Experience was when I spoke to Luis Guzman, and we really talked about homelessness and addressing the issue and really just putting it on a broader scale.
Right.
If we had followed around a homeless person and made a documentary, people really wouldn't have watched.
Right.
But if we took a movie star and made him undercover and had him live on the street, people would really watch. And people would really understand the dynamics of being homeless, that it's not easy to survive on the street. There are so many different elements. Every day, every minute, you are really surviving. And it was just really interesting to see. I mean, we only went homeless for 72 hours. And I have to tell you, it felt like an eternity.
Wow.
Just 72 hours. It was a really long time. And for Louis, he really lost it the last day.
Really?
And he knew that he was going to...
Yeah, he was just
when
acting.
When filming was done, that was it. That he was going to go back to his life. But he said that he got so lonely that people just would not even talk to him. On top of, you know, he was starving. But he really said that he really just watched people, and what people, a lot of people do is they're on their cell phones, and he just really felt disconnected from the world.
Right. I can imagine that's exactly the feeling that a homeless person would get,
yeah,
you know, and especially when you feel like you're sort of like just dumped out there, nobody cares, nobody really sees you, you know. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen other than people ignoring you? You know,
right.
I don't think there's much worse than that when people give you a silent treatment or something like that, when it's, you know, silent treatment when it's deliberate or when it's not. Like when with the case with the homeless, people, I'm sure, are not ignoring them for the sake of ignoring him or to punish him or anything. It's just that we can't relate to it. We're too busy with our lives and stuff. And that's why I think when you bring attention to things like this, people start... They stop for a moment and they think.
What feedback did you get from that?
Well, I'm really proud of the film. I'm proud of Louis. I'm proud of our crew because we just filmed 72 hours straight. And I think the amazing thing is when it screens, for me, is that so many people come up to me or Louis and they say, we're never going to look at another homeless person again ever the same way. And that feels so good. Because that's the message, is that we are all people.
Right.
And we do all have a history. We come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it would be so amazing if we could truly make a difference in the world and help end poverty. But I love that when the film screens, people become really inspired. And I get messages from other homeless centers saying we'd like to partner up. Because we screen the documentary across America. And the money that it raises a lot of times goes to sustaining homeless shelters.
Right.
So that is really important for us. And it's screening at the Hollywood Film Festival on Friday.
That's cool.
So I'm excited to see what people are going to think. And then I'm speaking on a homeless panel that Friday night, talking about socially conscious entertainment with other activists and experts in homelessness from LA. So I'm really excited to be talking to them and hearing their ideas so that I can learn even more to really try to make a difference.
Right.
Definitely.
And how did you become involved in filmmaking at all? I mean, this is like something we've been talking about, the subject matter, but obviously you wanted to put this on film and stuff. How did you get involved with that?
Well, I was driving in my car, I think 16 years ago, and I heard about how many homeless children there were in America, and it bothered me. And I worked in a restaurant and a bar, and I remember going there saying, can you believe there's this many homeless children? And one of the customers said, well, you're not going to do anything about it anyway, so, you know, don't get yourself upset about it. And if you know me, once I have my mind made up to something, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I saved $20,000 in quarters. And wow. I hired a bunch of,
That's impressive.
Yeah. That's impressive. I mean, how long does it take to save up that much?
A few years. Yes. Yeah. Well, when you're in the restaurant industry, you get a lot of change.
Right.
So if you save up three big Poland Spring water jugs, they're like 5 gallons. That's about $5,000.
Oh, okay.
So if you save three of them, it's $15,000, okay. But it just takes a while.
Wow. So you knew you had to do it. I mean, whatever it takes, you're going to do it.
Yeah, and then from there, I just started making documentaries. And
right. But, I mean, how did you get... Did you have any training for film and things like that? I mean, how...
Oh, I was an actress.
Oh, okay.
I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. Okay. That seems like a lifetime ago. And
I was like, oh, I did this.
And I thought when I was younger, I really enjoyed being in front of the camera. But I just really have more fun being behind the camera.
Right.
And really capturing what life is all about. And just trying to make an impact. It's such a powerful thing that you could really make something and try to inspire people and make a difference, because whoever controls the media controls the mind.
Right.
And you can create a positive movement through making films. And so that's really my passion and how I got involved in doing all of this.
Right. Did you make any films before that, or was this your first one?
No, my first one was Not in My Backyard, about battered women, their children. My second one was the NIMBY series, where I followed around foster children, homeless foster children. My third show series is with Carl Champley, who's actually from L.A., and a do-it-yourself makeover, where we make over shelters across America.
Wow.
And then the NIMBY experience is my fourth, where we partner with celebrities and have them go undercover and do really outrageous things to make a difference.
Right.
And then my fifth one is Real Beauty, Real Woman has a web series. And I kind of say it's like Access Hollywood with a cause.
Oh, okay.
We go with celebrities to their galas for their charities. And then we get to see the sizzle behind the red carpets and who's passionate about what. And you get to see what they're wearing while learning about what's going on in the world.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, so everything has a purpose to do with helping people and helping the homeless, domestic violence, sorry, not domestic violence, but, well, yeah.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, helping these causes.
Yes, anything that is in our backyard, I cover. So any issues, whether it's animal abuse, elderly abuse, veterans, domestic violence, poverty, illiteracy, we cover it.
Right. Now, if people want to see the film and they're not at the Hollywood Festival, how do they get to see it?
Well, that is what we're deciding. Okay. We have been offered two licensing deals, so we're just trying to figure out what we want to do. Mm. Do we really want to go on a TV network and do a whole big series, which would be great, or do we want to use a big digital platform?
Right.
So now after the festival, we have to really figure out what's really the best platform where people, where the most people can see it and it will have the best impact.
Right. And do they give out awards at this festival too? Is it like an award type of a thing, or is it just
yes.
to screen it to people?
No, they give out awards and stuff.
They do?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm excited. Actually, when I leave here, I have to go to the F3. It's a Fueling Female Forum. It's mm-hmm. for the Women's Initiative for CineCause, well, SignCause. And I'm meeting up with all these other women filmmakers. So I got chosen to be the 25 emerging female filmmakers. So it's exciting.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm very proud of that because I love being around other women that are making a difference, because in the media, women really don't have a voice. It's always men that are running the studios. Mm-hmm. So to be able to see all these women that are doing all this stuff, I'm really excited just to meet them.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah. So now, among the, how long does a person stay homeless? I mean, are there people that can survive like this for years?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There are certain people that have been homeless for so long, they don't even remember their names anymore because they haven't had conversations with people. You're talking about 30 years? Although the average homeless person dies earlier than how we would live, just because it's really such a strain on your body.
Right.
Mentally
and your
and
soul,
emotionally.
Too, yeah. I mean, it's got to be really difficult because you are disconnected from society, you know. I mean, how much more terrible can it be, you know? And you probably you stay in your own head, in your own mind, you know, and it's a sad thing, you know. It's very sad. And I think anybody that brings awareness to that, kudos to you for doing that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I read that you're in the top 1%. Your profile on LinkedIn is in the top 1% of all viewed on LinkedIn. That must be pretty exciting to know that a lot of people are viewing your profile and viewing so they have links and opportunities to see your projects.
Yeah, that happened last year. I think it was 2013. I don't know what it is this year. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn sends you a little message. They say, oh, congratulations. And they give you this thing that you could tweet. So I wrote them back and I said, I think that there's a mistake because, I'm interesting, but I'm not that interesting. And they wrote back, no, apparently you are. And so you could tweet it. So I did tweet it last year. I was really surprised, and I was excited because my dream really is that through socially conscious entertainment, through the media, because you watch the news, you watch reality shows, social media, kids are so involved, and really what we see really affects us. Racism, ignorance, violence, sexual exploitation against women, all these stereotypes that are in our head, and if we create this entertainment where people can watch it and really learn what's going on, but really learn how we can all make a difference and how we can understand each other and the dynamics of why we are the way we are. I mean, that would just be a great world to live in.
Yeah.
Right.
So that is my goal through LinkedIn and Facebook, because social media is exhausting. Every time I figure out one, they pop up another one, and I'm like, oh my goodness. But you have to keep up on it because you have to stay relevant and you want people to see what you're doing. So I just hope that more people, you know, really come on board and watch the shows and go to LinkedIn or go to Facebook and like our pages and really come aboard our movement to help make a difference.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm sure when more people see it and the film festival will give you even more exposure, and I've no doubt that you're going to sign a great license because this is something that touches everybody. So a lot of people are going to want to see it, and I think a lot of people will join the movement, and I have a feeling it will be some top celebrities that you'll be able to get.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
we that's the great thing. We're very lucky with celebrities. We're so lucky. We have Lauren Velez from Dexter. We have Luis Guzman. Fran Dreschner gave us a great shout out about the NIMBY project. We have Edwin Torres, who wrote Carlito's Way and is the New York Boxing Commissioner. We just have, when you go on our site, we have reality celebrities too, and fashion designers. We're very lucky with celebrities.
Very cool. Yeah.
So that we're really blessed like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Celebrities do bring attention to a cause and stuff, you know, because like you said, we look up to them, we like them, we relate to them somehow. I wanted to ask you. Oh, first of all, you're in Texas. Is it easy to make films from there, or you don't know yet? You just got there.
No, I don't know yet. I'm a little nervous about moving because all of my contacts and my office and everything was in New York and New Jersey.
Right.
So Texas really is a different world.
Whole new ball game.
Yes, it is completely different. But I have met some amazing people who are trying to put together a charter school for homeless teens, and I really am excited about that because I think that would be amazing. And now I'm meeting with filmmakers and stuff there to really talk about filming. I want to film a big country star down there and have them do something really incredible.
Right.
Because Texas really is so different than New York.
Yeah.
It's just like totally two different worlds.
It'll take you a while to get used to it, huh?
Yes, it is taking me a while, but I really have to say I love getting to see my dad every day.
That's very cool.
It's such a joy to be able to be around him, and he came out here with me, and, you know, I got really lucky. So
yeah,
we're just going to figure it out and, you know, see what happens. And my husband is already working down there, so he loves it.
Yeah, so, that's easy, right?
Yeah. So it's just me. I'm just the one getting used to the difference.
Right. But it's worth it. I mean, the cause is worth it. You know,
yeah.
You get to have the family near you and everything, so that's cool. So the movie was shot in New York, right?
Yep.
And the name of the film is The NIMBY Experience. There is a trailer on the website pickitupictures.com, and you can see some still pictures from there as well. And also check out rbrw.org, which is Real Beauty, Real Women. And you can see there's, I see like fashion shows and things like that, red carpet and all that. So a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of fun stuff here, yeah. I can see. And so there's a lot to see there. And hopefully we'll be able to see the movie. You know, maybe like a Netflix or something like that, Amazon.
I would love to do a Netflix or an Amazon deal.
Right.
Do a 10-episode series where you have 10 different episodes.
Right.
Really doing extreme things for their causes and going undercover. And I think people would love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds fascinating to me. You know, I mean, the thing is, I always salute people who give from themselves and help out and everything, you know.
Oh, thank you.
And
I enjoy it.
Yeah, well, really you should, do. You know. I mean, you're doing something that you love and you're helping people.
Helping people, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's see. So, I did want to ask you one more thing. So, you grew up in New Jersey?
I grew up in New Jersey and then upstate New York.
Okay. And what was your childhood like? Did you have a good childhood?
At times.
At times.
I definitely, you know, I think like most people, my parents got married really young, had us too young, got a divorce. Mm-hmm. My parents got a divorce, and we moved around with my mother a lot, and we were poor. Mm. But I'm happy we were poor, actually, to tell you the truth. Not at the time, but I'm really happy we were now that I'm an adult because it made me really creative. There's nothing that I don't think I can't do, and I just figure it out, because when you grow up poor, you always have obstacles, so you have to be very creative.
Right.
And so I think that I was so blessed
right.
in some of the tragedies that happened when I was younger because it impacted me.
Right.
And shaped and you who you are.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And that's probably one of the things that drove you to do what you do, you know, and that's the thing. Okay, well, Jacqueline Aludo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
A lot of fun. Everybody check out the websites and the series or the movie. And I wanted to check out the trailer and everything. And hopefully people will be able to watch the entire thing, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
Very cool. Okay, well, thank you everybody for joining us. Thank you, Charlotte, as always. And we'll be here tomorrow.
Radio. Tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.